Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Chuck Bonnemel, Julie Hayden here. True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show. And it's going to be a great show, Julie.
Lots to talk about. You know, we had the show all planned. And then, you know, around noonish, everything started blowing up. Fourth, I want to mention our show brought to you today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Check it out. We've got Casper Stockham on standby, who is absolutely everywhere these days. Chris Doty also has some pictures he wants to share with us. And at 3:30, we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk to John O'Connor, former prosecutor, author of Postgate, on Attorney General Barr's testimony. So we'll take it national.
He was the assistant U.S. attorney along with Robert Mueller, so he's got a lot of background. I do want to remind everybody to go to Colorado Citizen Press. And they got a great article on what the legislator may want to do to people who own homes, and it's not good.
Oh, no, it's not good. All right, so we've talked a lot lately about the homeless camps that have, and the camp is not the right word. These are tent cities, and most of the people there, really, even the Denver Post acknowledged today, aren't homeless. They could go home if they wanted to. It's just a party scene, a drug scene, a chaos, an anarchy scene that the city and the state have allowed to crop up around the state capitol, Denver Morey Middle School, just all over the place. And if you haven't seen them, I mean, you would look at this and you're like, are we in some third world country where the poverty level is so high people can't afford anything? And why hasn't the city done more? Well, shocker of all shockers, right? They finally decided to clean the tent city out across from the state capitol. And did the homeless people say, what a great idea. We're going to go over to the Coliseum. That looks like a fun place for homeless people.
Well, they also had the quote-unquote Denver Police Homeless Unit to help them out with all their needs,
right,
and where they could go and where they could get support.
Everybody was
support.
There. But they did not go away peacefully. Shocker of shockers. So we've got Casper Stockham with us, a congressional candidate.
Who was down there.
For CD7, who's all over the place. Hey, Casper, if you want to unmute yourself and go ahead and join us. Let me first, we're going to play some videotape, but first let me just ask you something. What was it, number one, were you shocked that this did not go well this morning?
No, I was definitely not shocked that it didn't go well. In fact, I'm surprised that it's going as well as it's going right now.
Yeah.
There were a lot of police down there. They had the area fenced off so they could start to funnel the folks out. They had the large trash trucks in there kind of cleaning up the area. And maybe by tonight, they'll be able to turn the sprinklers back on.
Well, that'll be fun.
They've been broken. I can't imagine they ignored them. Well, what happened then in the melee?
Well, a bunch of shows and film.
Right. Yeah. Well, but I'm going to explain what we're going to see in the video. So this is Denver School Board member Tay Anderson. You may have heard of him. He's very young, but he's very much an activist. He's all over at the protest. And he got involved. Maybe not involved. He got hurt in the scuffle. Ended up going to the hospital. Yeah. So that's it. Hey, guys at BBS, if you could play the Tay Anderson video now. And this, we got an anonymous source sent this to us.
Do you want to go to the doctor? Here, sit down.
Okay, can I take your hat off and see?
Was that police or just a person there, Tay?
That was the police.
All right, if you didn't hear that, that was Tay Anderson saying it was the police who did that to them. Want to let folks know, he's tweeted out he's okay. He went to the hospital, and shockingly, he's going to be holding a news conference at 6 o'clock
tonight.
Well,
I've come across Tay a couple times. He was at the original ICE rally, taking a huge bullhorn, screaming at people in their face a few feet away. He came to Glendale where he mocked and pushed around people. I mean, he is one punk. He is one punk, if there ever was one.
And I don't doubt that he was hit.
I don't doubt that either.
Stephen Tubbs and I were both down there. Stephen was actually closer to the action. You'll see in the video that I sent you. But I didn't see anything happen. But I saw Tay on the ground. I saw him holding his head. Now, there have been no images, by the way, even on Taze feed that I've seen of any injuries. I see him holding his head and I see him in the hospital, but I haven't seen any blood. I'm not saying there needs to be. I'm just saying
right.
It's just kind of weird.
Well, yeah, and I think we've had some people commenting on our Facebook page and even on the Twitter that, number one, you know, Tay Anderson is blaming the police for doing this, but then somebody says, well, why didn't he move back when the cops were asking people to move back from
Since he got hit in the back of the head, at least according to where he was holding his head, he could not have seen who hit him.
Well, but again, right? I think there's police. The police hopefully had their body cams on. But yeah. A part of me is like, you know, City of Denver, wake up. This is what you get when you allow these homeless camps to fester. What I want to do now, Casper, is play your video, and maybe you can tell people what we're seeing. So, folks at BBS, if you could play, I call it the homeless chaos video.
Hard to see, but Tay is literally on the ground at this point. And right. I'm trying to get a better look at what's going on. This is after. This is Stephen right there. Stephen Tubbs
right. Is
right there. He's getting closer into the action than I am. I'm keeping my distance.
Smart.
But Stephen moved in pretty quick, and he was filming it. I don't know what he captured.
Well, then you can see there, those are the fences that the cops put up that they were trying to, and that's where they were trying to funnel people out of the fence, right? They were trying to get people.
There's Stephen right there.
Yeah, Stephen right there. He's getting up close. But
there you can see the guy kneeling on the ground. That's where Tay is.
Right. Right. So we got there after all the scuffle happened. So we were watching the aftermath, and then they walked Tay out.
Right.
He was holding his head, and he was basically making sure that he said the police hit him.
Right. Right. Well, and that's, you know, we confirmed that with some other people who have seen that video. He did say that it was the police who did this. But apparently what happened in Casper, tell me if, so the cops, the state patrol, apparently they didn't have their de-escalation training yet. Mm-hmm. The state patrol moves in. They've got to clean this out. It's just become a mess. There was a shooting there, a fatal shooting, right? And we know that there's been all kinds of drug activity, you know, all kinds of stuff going on, their criminal activity. Let alone just the eyesore and the impact it has on businesses. So they moved in to clean it out, put the fence up, and then they were going to kind of funnel people out. They've been telling people for days that they were going to do this and that if they wanted a place to move their stuff, they would help them. So this is not a shock to the people there.
No, as I said, they had the police, quote unquote, homeless units who has all kinds of access to help for anybody who's homeless.
Everything, yeah.
Right. But again, then a scuffle broke out. The Tay got caught in the middle of, apparently.
Well, because they wouldn't move.
Because the people weren't gonna move, right? So, Cass, my question to you is, to me, it's atrocious. And I blame whoever ended up hitting Tay Anderson, right? I blame Mayor Hancock and Governor Polis for allowing it to get to this point in the first place. The city of Denver voted loud and clear they didn't want tent cities,
what
right?
What does it matter if the people of Denver vote?
Well, what I mean, exactly. But so, I mean, when the first tent appeared, they should have, there's a curfew there. They should have moved it out. Instead, they kowtow to the mob rule, thinking, I don't know what, that the mob is going to reasonably one day pack up and leave. To me, I think they're the ones responsible for whatever happened there today.
Yeah, they absolutely are, you know, and they only started to do any of this because we were shining the light. Stephen was down there. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys were talking about it. I was talking about it. And eventually they got embarrassed enough to move the tent city that was in front of the governor's mansion. Yeah. And now they're, now they're clearing out this area, but it was only because of the embarrassment of it even existing, you know, and according to the governor, he didn't even know that it existed.
Oh, well, because he's living in his Boulder mansion, right? He's like out hiking on Chautauqua. He's, you know, he hasn't been to the office forever while everybody else has to do it. Well, you know, the Denver Post had, I think, just a horrific comment today saying, okay, let's clean it up. But they were calling these Trumpvilles. Like somehow Trump is responsible for this, right?
Yeah, right. Like Uberville.
Democrats have been in charge of Denver and Colorado for decades, right? Trump had nothing to do. I mean,
that's smarter than though. They used to call it shanties.
It's smarter than the Democrats to say that, but I am mad at the Republicans because where are they? Yeah. You know, what are they saying about it? You know,
right.
none of our leaders are stepping up saying, whoa, 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 this has nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. We had nothing to do with this. This is all Democrat. This is on the governor. This is on the mayor. This is on the city council. This is on the city managers, all these people that are supposedly supposed to have a handle on this stuff.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are failing the people.
What do you think? I mean, my prediction is as soon as they take the fence down, people will come back, right? They took the fence down at the state capitol. People came back and vandalized it. I mean, if you were elected, and I know you're in CD7, and hopefully, thank God, because we're in CD7, we won't have to deal with this, but who knows, right? I mean, what would you do, and what do you think they should do?
That's a great question, Julie. So what I'm going to do when I'm elected is do the same thing I'm doing now, which is shine light on this foolishness, but I'll be able to do it from a much higher level. Right now, the news is ignoring me because who am I, right? I'm just just a nobody candidate. But once I'm Congressman Stockham, they're going to have to at least report what I'm saying. So I'll have a much higher level platform to continually shine the light on all of this in a way that they're not ready for.
Well, let me ask you, too. One thing, I talk to people, they're like, well, it's not happening in the suburbs. But you got to ask yourself, how long do you think before it moves to the suburbs, right?
Not long. It's already spilling into Aurora big time, the suburbs in Aurora. It's going to spill into the suburbs of Edgewater and Lakewood and Arvada. Yeah. It's just a matter of time before.
It's going to be statewide. It is going to be almost statewide.
I give it 30 to 60 days.
Yeah.
And it's going to get really nasty.
Well, they're coming after the suburbs next. And so if anybody thinks they're going to escape it, they're foolish. But we're, after the Tay Anderson dramatics, what happened at the end when you left or when Stephan left?
When I left, they were still yelling at the police, but the police quickly disbanded the unit that was right there at the opening of the fence. They closed the opening and they kind of went into the interior of the park. And then the ones that were on the outside hopped in their cars and left. And that's when I went across the street and did my live shot of what was going on. So it kind of, it dissipated pretty quickly after Tay was out of there.
Well, and here's, we call our show Truth Straight Up, and I want to get to one of the underlying truths about this whole homeless issue. Robin Kanish, Denver City Councilwoman, is calling on, more money.
We need to throw more money
at this, right? Chris Doty.
More money.
Chris Doty is going to show us. He has some pictures out of the Coliseum where they want to put these people. All of the agencies that have set up shop there to help them. I mean, the city of Denver under John Hickenlooper, we're supposed to be cured of this years ago, right? We spent
10-year plan and homelessness.
People need to make no mistake, there are a lot of Democrat-related organizations making millions of dollars on this homeless issue. They do not want to solve it. They just, this was a fundraising campaign for them to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think the homeless should go down to Wash Park because it's awesome down there.
Yeah?
A good time. There's a water source. They can go fishing. They can go swimming.
Good point.
Cherry Creek North. They could go, go down to church. Well, and that is kind of funny because the mayor said to the city council members, well, where in your district do you want us to put them? And only like Candy Cedarbach, only a couple people said
volunteered,
anything. Exactly.
16th Street Mall.
Well, just your perspective on all of this, I think, because sometimes I talk about it with friends and they're like, I just don't even like to hear about it because it's so bad anymore. But I say to them, if you think this is not your world, you're going to have a rude awakening someday. This is not stopping. It's not going to end. I don't think even if Joe Biden wins, this isn't.
Oh, sure. It'll end if Joe Biden wins. All our problems will be over.
Yeah. What's going to happen if Joe Biden wins? Then the feds are really going to come in and crack down.
Exactly.
And it's going to be okay. If they do it, it's going to be just perfectly fine.
Casper, tell where people can help out on your campaign.
And see your videos.
Yes, so they can go to Facebook and just search for Casper for Colorado. And the website is Casper4Colorado.com. We are ramping up big time. We've got some funds coming in now. We've got meet and greets scheduled. Things are heating up quite nicely. The biggest thing we have going now is to force Ed Perlmutter into a debate.
Yeah.
Right now he is, of course, he's running for cover. He doesn't want to debate me. but right. we're going to force that issue. We got some fun things coming up. So.
All right, Casper. Great to
Casper
see you.
Casper for Colorado. Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
You. Stay safe out there. Stay safe out there.
All right, let's bring Chris Doty up.
Let's bring Chris up. Hey, Chris. Thank you
for, hi, guys.
For your time this afternoon. So you sent me, you were texting me some pictures, and I said, hey, and why don't I let folks know, that's kind of the fun thing about the show, the way we do it. We can, you can share on your screen. So if anybody out there has video or pictures appropriate that they want to share, just let us know and we can get that on. But Chris, obviously you were there. You, like Casper, all over. You're like the roving live reporter there. Why don't you talk about what was going on there from what you observed?
Well, we'll kind of do a Disneyland tour from the state capitol out to Western arena out there. I got there. I heard Stefan on the radio and thought, well, I'll run down and see what's going on. Actually, I heard prior to that. So I wanted to kind of take a look at who was there. We had about 150 highway patrolmen, other badged people or with insignia on their shirts was Denver Health, Parks and Rec, and disposal, trash disposal and things like that. Across the street on standby was Denver Police over in our park where we all had the opportunity to see America at its best.
how just effective the Denver Police can be.
So they were just standing there most of the time. I'm going to share some content. And we'll
they're good at that. They're good at that.
Take. Yeah, that was kind of my conclusion too. When I first got there, this is where the police were on Colfax on the north side of the park. And you can see that they lined up. I'll make a comment also that the only confrontation that I know of that took place down there, the entire time I was there, I didn't see any confrontation. The people that were actually being uprooted from their tents and their encampment didn't have conflict. I noticed that Tay must have woke up in time to go get his 5 minutes of fame and fortune.
Let me interrupt you. I'm sorry, but that was my impression also, that the actual homeless people were not the ones who were causing the problems. They were leaving. They'd known this was coming. But what happened is, just like you heard, being talked about this morning, the homeless activist community, including Tay Anderson, also heard, and they're the ones who went down and caused the problems, right? That's the way I understand it. It wasn't, like you said, the homeless people were leaving, but these were the activists who were trying to prevent anything good from happening.
I would definitely concur with that. As they set up the fencing, they would leave exit points. And at one point, Stefan and I were walking along, and a lady came along and let us know that the park is now closed. And if we weren't in there packing up, or if we weren't part of law enforcement, we were asked to leave. So obviously, Tay wanted to create a confrontation at the one gate on 14th Avenue. He picked that as his entry point. It's obvious that he had his supporters. Nobody else down there. I don't think Casper had his entourage with him. I know Stefan didn't have his. And nobody else had a moment to claim fame down there.
Well, let me clarify that, because that's important. So you're saying when you got there, basically somebody in a position of authority came up and said to you, hey, look, here's what we got going on here. If you're not, you need to step back. And so I'm assuming, did you step back or did you storm the fence?
Of course. No, I didn't stand there with Tay and try and create a scene.
Right.
And Tay was, the Tay event, we'll call it, was probably an hour and a half after I left. Like I said, I think he just decided this was his moment to go down there. And if you look at him, there's no blood coming through his hat. It looked like he might have kind of tumbled to the ground. It wasn't that. And I thanked each one of those troopers as we went around, and they were there doing a job. They weren't confrontational. Right. There was a woman that was just ranting and raving at him, at them burning off calories, about 1,500 calories. I mean, she ran it and circulated. I want you to know I walked around the perimeter of the park a total of four times, took pictures, helped a photographer.
You get your 10,000 steps in?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Show us some of the pictures. And I know it's kind of tricky to share with the share screen thing, but show us, we just saw a picture that was a fence that they were putting up, right? Which seems
That's GE Phipps. They were the contractor that did the fence install. I'll go back to that picture.
And then show us some of the tents so people can get an image and describe what it actually looks like. Because, I mean, we've seen it, and sometimes the pictures of just how awful, how bad it is there.
Until you're standing there and feeling, you know, you're living the stench. Unfortunately, I got rid of a lot of my tent photos because it was so redundant. But here's our health department in there cleaning up. We've got to make sure that we keep these groups separated. Antifa didn't infiltrate this encampment. It was 100% wall-to-wall full the Sunday that all of us were down there.
Right.
But the day it was 30% empty. And by the time they had the shooting, the park was like we see it here, with only a portion of the ground covered with tents. I'm looking for another photo here. Go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say, you know, as I understand it too, again, the city has been in there for a few days telling people, and this is how they handle these things, right? They come in and they say, we're going to be coming in. If you need help moving, if you need a place to store your stuff, if you need resources, as I understand it, they even had a bus there to take people to the Western Stock Show complex, if that's
right. One person boarded a bus in the entire time I was there.
Wow.
In a minute, I'll show you the video out at the Western complex. This is evidently some type of powder that was being sprinkled at the around the tents and on the tents for the
they've had outbreaks of lice. They've seen diseases there that we haven't seen, you know, in decades in this country.
Time.
Yeah.
Back in World War II, we called it trench foot, and it's transmitted.
That's all right.
I gotta get out of one here.
No, I know. It's tricky.
It's not that bad. It's just my fingers aren't as good as they used to be. You know, the trench foot is spread by the fleas. So then my curiosity was, okay, then Denver's had months and months to organize and plan this. We've heard about the buses and all of that. So, of course, I went out to National Western Complex.
Right.
And I'll show you the fronts of the building where Denver obviously positioned hundreds of staff members to accept and welcome the onrush of homeless people. Let's clarify, these are drug addicted and alcoholic people that don't want to be in Western. So this is the front of the building, and if you look closely, there's a gentleman at the door. I circled the building three times in my vehicle to take pictures. I saw two or three people wandering in and out. So once they're in that center, if they want to get fresh air, they have a stockade where they keep them in a stockade at the back of the center. So this is what we're seeing, is these people coming out the south side of the building. And if you notice, they use cattle fencing to hold these people in because it's a secure facility. You have to check
in. And to clarify, they can leave. The people aren't prisoners there. They can leave. But like you said, they have to secure the facility, right? They're not in jail there.
No, but if they want to go out and get a fresh breath of air, they need to stay within that. Otherwise, they have to go back through. And this is a gentleman sitting there, contemplating life. I found one picture that was very ironic. So to the right of that picture I just took, this picture came. Where did it go? There it is. And I found that was ironic that happened to be right now. It is lost and found. But
let me just sort of finally get back to, and then we can maybe we'll open up if folks want to call. I put this, what happened this afternoon or this morning, and it's not going to stop happening, on the mayor and on the governor. They allowed this situation.
But they don't care, luckily, or unluckily. They don't care. I mean, they just don't care. The mayor, who knows what the mayor of Denver's up to. Polis, is, as you said, is walking around Chautauqua, and the state is just closed down for mass. I mean, it's the strangest time I think I've ever been around.
I think it's ironic that Stefan, and I'm going to give Stefan kudos. As a matter of fact, I told him on his show on Friday, with two questions at a press conference, he was able to clear the tents around the, and I go by at the governor's mansion. And I did go by there also, and their tents are not back up at the governor's mansion. Everybody's wondering. The fence is down at the Capitol. Their definition of what's clean and my definition, or you're clean, or they're still spray paint of certain figures Che Guevara still predominant on a lot of the stones around the Capitol. So I think the governor, they want to generate this need. And I'm going to say it this way. We're killing these people with one good dollar, one good intention at a time. We're not saving anybody. The millions and millions of dollars that have been wasted in this city are gone. And I have a homeless employee that we engage. We've built him a tough shed on the back of a property. And I asked him the other day, how do we cure this? And he does exactly what we know needs to be done. You need to be sober. You need to have a life. You need to have a job. Paul Scudo, who is with Step Denver, was right down there today. And I had an opportunity to overhear Paul go into the, you know, it's a simple cure. And my mom was with me the other day and we were going around the governor's ranch mansion. Actually, it was Maury Middle School. And I looked at it and it's a very solvable problem. If you have strength of will, there's where we want to go with this. If our leaders, our elected representatives, not our leaders, had strength of will to execute good decisions, this is a very fixable problem. They were able to clear out that encampment after months in 2 hours.
Right.
And
right.
No confrontation other than one with our buddy Tay.
That they started. Yeah. And I would say if Tay Anderson is really concerned as a Denver Public School Board member, maybe he should focus on getting that cleaned out around the Denver Public School, Maury Middle School. Right. I mean, if he's going to be spending his time dealing with homeless issues.
Well, it's a practical matter. It is people make six-figure salaries in the Coalition for the Homeless. This is like going to an ice cream company and saying, how do you want to cure people eating sugar? I mean, no, we don't.
Yeah.
And they don't want to cure anything. I mean,
the road home was started a decade or so ago. And the road home was only a road to the bank for some people with $250,000 salaries. Tay Anderson, I met him the day that he decided he was going to remove the resource officers, the Denver police officers from the schools. Don't misjudge this young man. He is very intelligent and very motivated. I shook his hand, introduced myself. There's a rite of passage, which is a detention facility out near Watkins. And I've had the opportunity to be in and meet these young men that are disadvantaged and they don't have a family other than gangs and things like that. So I tried to impart that to him, but this young guy has an agenda and he is lights out smart.
And he's got
more hopes than being on the school board.
Yeah, and he's clearly got backing too. Hey, Chris.
Well, he intends to be mayor, and he intends to be mayor at the next one.
There you go.
I promise you.
That's right.
You guys are wonderful, and I'll sit and listen, and I'm done for the day.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Remember, I'm the man on the street, not in the gutter.
All right, the man on the street, not in the gutter report.
All right, at
3:30 in a few minutes, we're going to bring in John O'Connor, give him a call. But if you want to call in now to talk about this, 888-627-6008.
Well, since we've got a second, I want to talk about Synergenics, if we could. You know, there's youth is simply a feeling. It's not a number. And you can help control that. And you control that by vitamins, you control it by hormones, you control it by lifestyle. But there's no point in doing at it in a scattered approach. We kind of go, I don't know, do I need more vitamin D? Apparently everybody says vitamin D is important. Am I vitamin D deficient? Or do I have plenty of vitamin D? Where are my hormone levels? Are they high? Are they low? Where are they? Well, you need a guide. And that's what Synergenics is. They will do a complete examination for you. Top to bottom, test everything out, and then bring you a score sheet saying, this is where you stand, this is where you're good, this is where we got to help you and get better. And once you go through this analysis, and it's extraordinary. Peter Boyles and I have gone through it, and it's just amazing. So I couldn't recommend more. Talk to Julie McCallum. Get a free consultation. Just give her a call, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, or go to Synergetics.com and you'll be glad you did.
All right. And we've got now, so we're going to switch gears a little bit. You know, we were going to start out the show talking about the big tech stuff. Once again, Facebook refused. They said my ad was rejected for violating community standards. Yeah. All I said was Dave Williams says an SOS to the White House. I don't know
clearly.
Yeah. So if you think if they're bothering to censor people like the Chuck and Julie show, you can only imagine what they're doing to some of the big name things and Donald Trump Jr. and the president. But we have that going on. But also yesterday, really great job, I thought, by Attorney General Barr. So we wanted to bring on John O'Connor, former prosecutor, author of Postgate. We've had him on the show before. But John, hey, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
Well, you've got a great show. I'm always happy to be on with you guys.
Well, thanks.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, I mean, I sat there transfixed watching Nadler do his deal and some of the Congressman Dean and some of the other, I mean, unbelievable.
Jim Jordan.
Well, Jim Jordan was great, but the Democratic Congress people say, I reclaim my time. They apparently went all to the same seminar on that if he starts talking, say, I reclaim my time and tell him to shut up. I mean, it was a disgrace for them for waiting for over a year for their big opportunity. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, if this is all they can do, I thought the funniest part of it was when I think there was it was a sort of blonde female congressperson, Democrat, started questioning Barr. She would ask him one long kind of statement type of question and would appear to be through with it. Barr would start to open his mouth and she'd start another one. And a statement / question. You don't know whether they end or begin. And then she'd ask another one and another one. And at some point, Barr started to say a few words. You could tell he just was sort of frustrated because she was just making these statements as questions. And he started to speak. And then she yelled at him and said, can't you show me respect? Arthur, show me respect. I think, guys, you're crazy. You are crazy.
Oh. Well, didn't Barr say at some point, stuff. I thought it was here to be heard.
Yeah, to testify. The hearing, I'm here for you to hear me testify.
No.
Yeah, there was some other guy, the sort of a bald guy, I forget where he's from. Might have been
Cohen, yeah.
Yeah, the same thing. He was asking questions, and he never let Barr answer him. He just kept talking, you know, and Barr would get out one word, and then the next question would come. But what they are is they're afraid of the guy because he's so perfectly precise in his knowledge and how to parse things and what's right and what's not, and people use inexact language, and he'll then have to parse that and say, well, this part of it, yes, this part of it, no. And well,
they'd ask him questions like, did you investigate, have you started an investigation on Trump's pardon of Stone? And he kind of goes, why would I?
Yeah.
why would I try to investigate that? And they had no answer to that. They go, well, I don't know. It says here for me to ask you that. I mean, I don't know.
We do investigations without any basis, so why don't you?
Yeah, because it's actually this thing called, and actually it was, it was under the president's pardon power. I guess it was a commutation, probably not a pardon, but same thing. It's part of that power.
Right.
It's a constitutional power. And so, you know, what's to investigate?
What's to investigate?
I mean,
So you're a former prosecutor. And one thing I was wondering, though, is, well, it's good circus and it makes for good sound bites. Does anything ever actually come of these things? Or is what we saw, and which I think Barr won, is that the whole bottom line point? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, the only reason they would call Barr in is to try to make political points through this theater, because all of us are watching and it's kind of always been good theater. In theory, Congress should only be asking these questions if there's a legitimate legislative oversight function. And that's why, of course, they're struggling to explain when they're getting Trump's tax returns. People out there in TV land think that, gee, if Congress subpoenas you, you got to come in, you got to answer any questions they have for you. Well, there's this thing called separation of powers, and you've got the executive branch and the legislative branch, and the executive branch has to respond to questions if there's a legislative function behind it. You want to find out, for instance, maybe how a health and safety program is going. You bring in the person in charge of the health and safety program and say, how's it going? We want to know from you, and so forth. And to some degree, maybe you want to highlight it for the public if you think it's if you've teed it up enough and can enlighten the public. So there is a function there, but not for everything they ask. And yesterday was sort of what makes me ashamed is that there wasn't even any legitimate question I thought that they had for the guy. I mean, they just had nothing. Other than to just sort of yell at him. Anyway, he's so good and so wonderful. Didn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
He's he has,
I mean,
and he has, you know, the, I would have lost my temper somewhere in between all that rudeness. And so he's great. He just kind of placidly, every once in a while, he'd make an aside, which were usually incredibly funny. You know, part of the reason why he hasn't been there for over a year is because the congressmen don't want to actually ask him questions. They want their staff to, because their staff is brighter, smarter, and better at doing examinations. And he said, no, it's here for you to ask me questions. It's not for your staff member to ask me questions. And they said, no, you have to answer our staff. And he said, I'm not going to do it. So finally, they said, all right, we'll ask the questions. And after yesterday, you understand why they didn't want to ask the questions, because they came across as so evil, so rude, just awful human beings. I mean, honestly, awful. If you wanted to have a publicity campaign for your time in Congress and you were a Democrat, you wouldn't want to show that hearing.
Well, let me tell you why they did it yesterday, why they had this charade yesterday. Because they see that coming down the line is a train called the Durham indictments.
Right.
And the only way out of them, and they know that they've been caught. They've been caught in some really serious abuses that are just stomach turning. They have media cover on all these abuses. Right. And so the media is not going to do anything about it, the major media, but the court system will. And there's no way that there can be an indictment without the media covering it. So what they're planning on doing it is, of course, trying to cast Barr as Trump's personal lawyer, his wingman, et cetera, et cetera. And he's anything but. He's nothing like Eric Holder. He's a great lawman, and that's what he is, and that's how he's always been. But they're trying to delegitimize Barr as a way of delegitimizing these indictments. Then they're going to hope to stall out the indictments, which they probably will pass the election, win the election, and then use the excuse of Barr's politicizing, alleged politicizing, to dismiss him. That's why they're doing this. I thought they failed miserably yesterday. Just as you called up, I was online, and a friend of mine who's a Democrat sent me this article from Bloomberg by a guy named Francis Wilkinson about how Barr was just this terrible partisan, and boy, he had trouble answering these questions. And of course, I'm actually one of these people called the lawyer, and my business is looking at words and seeing whether they're used correctly. Well, this guy's trying to criticize Barr for his very lawyer-like answers that were very correct. This guy probably wrote the most dishonest article I've ever read in my life, but in my profession, it's easy to get fooled by these sorts of things. Now, I don't think this guy really knows what he's talking about. I think
they don't even care anymore. You know, and that was a perfect, you gave me the perfect segue, because I wanted to get into what's going on with Durham. What do you think is, every so often something will come up and I'll be hopeful again. And then you see something else and you're like, I'm not hopeful again.
Is it perfect, the enemy of the good? Or are they ever going to do anything? I mean,
what's your sense of what's going on?
You don't have to indict everybody on the same day. You don't have to end your investigation just because you brought charges against some people. I don't get this idea that we have to wait, apparently keep on waiting till some kind of great revelation comes.
Well, let me tell you something. First, the left got a break with COVID. That sort of slowed things down and gave everybody an excuse. The second break is that the very abuses that Durham and Barr are investigating are abuses of our intelligence agencies. And those are the agencies that have the ability to slow walk their documents. And that's what they've been trying to do, slow walk everything. I mean, Durham and Barr know what's up. They know there's the gist of crimes that they've proven, but they need to get, they want to make sure they can do it and actually prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. They know it's there, and they know there are documents that are there. And so we don't know everything behind the scenes, but I will bet you $1 million, if I had $1 million with me, it's just a question of slow walk documents. And Ray is on the FBI, is not anybody's friend here. No. And of course the CIA, they're battening down the hatches. But here's what I think. I mean, everything gets to this FISA stuff. And who knew what? Who knew all the lies? You know, I think Horowitz put out 17 lies that were in the FISA applications. I think there are more, and I think there are more lies in other areas. And I also think, besides that, I don't think Barr and Durham are going to go here, but I believe that that Comey was guilty of withholding national security information from his own president.
Yeah.
I believe that Comey defrauded Trump by, under the Constitution, the president has the authority that is vested in him to run counterintelligence investigations. That's the president's job.
Okay.
Now, you don't during World War II, you know, the attorney general doesn't say, well, I've got some intelligence here, Mr. President, about Japan and Germany, but I'm not going to give it to you because I don't trust you.
Right.
No, it's
I don't
president.
Even like you.
Now,
Yeah.
When you get over to law enforcement, by tradition, that is independent of the president, and the attorney general runs it. That's why everybody
but
confused
it's not really,
the Russian counterintelligence.
Well, but it's not really.
So now the Russian.
It's part of the executive. I mean, the Justice Department.
Well, yes and no. But just by practice, the president does not have a right necessarily to jump in and learn all the facts.
Right.
What I'm saying is, if you withhold law enforcement information from the president, if you're the FBI and or the attorney general, and you withhold it from the president, unless it's in direct response from him about a case, it's not a crime to withhold it. My point is a different one. Everybody recognizes what I just said. What they don't recognize is that the Russian investigation was a counterintelligence investigation. Yeah. It was not a criminal investigation,
right.
And therefore it is criminal for Comey. I'm not here to exonerate him. I'm here to inculpate him. He withheld information from his commander-in-chief about counterintelligence with or against one of the most important foreign actors, Russia, as well as Ukraine and Britain and some other places. But he withheld that from the president. Now, he doesn't have any right playing games with the president, not telling him. See, the president thought it was a criminal investigation, and Trump kept saying, am I a target? Am I a target?
Right.
And
Comey would say, no, you're not. Well, of course you're not, because there's no criminal case open. It's a counterintelligence investigation.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you ever read Conservative Treehouse site?
Yes.
It's a very interesting one, Sundance. And he has been indicating in the last couple of weeks, somewhat cryptically, but there's another U.S. attorney that has been engaged to do a major investigation. It's been the background.
He's hinting
and it covers some huge areas and he is being, you know, sort of kept in the background. His investigation is kept in the background. But should that one break, and I'm not sure. Is it about the CIA? Is it about, I don't know
any,
what it
any
is.
Any sense what he's
that
talking about?
That might be the unmasking one. That might be the unmasking
one. Yeah, maybe so,
Okay. Yeah. Well, imagine, you know, we're talking with John O'Connor, author of Postgate, a former prosecutor. John, you know, you mentioned that I think I heard you say that you thought that they would delay this till after the election. I mean, my thing would be, if they do that, what's the point? But do you really think that? Do you think we're not going to see any indictments anytime soon?
No, I think the word is coming out. I was afraid of that, but I think you just hear rumblings, and the rumblings are that he is going to get this thing out. Now, remember this, once it gets into October, by Justice Department tradition and ethics, that is only violated by Democratic special prosecutors, as in the October surprise. Now, they can do it because they're good guys. They wear white hats and they
That's
just.
Right.
It's all Bush, it's all Reagan's guys in Iran-Contra. But put that aside, these guys are ethical. And so you can't do one of these things in October because it's too close to the election. And so, but I hear the rumblings are that there is going to be some indictments. So I'm happy about that. I think there are going to be a few people on this FISA application. And now we've heard Comey and McCabe come up with their defenses. months right. ago, in which they've talked about, my gosh, it's so hard to know what's going on seven stories below you, because
yeah.
the Olympian clouds, you know, so that's their defense. Gee, I didn't know that. And meanwhile, of course, these guys are engaged in every scintilla of evidence that comes in.
Yes, I mean, Strzok is no idiot, right? He's taking notes at who's at the meeting and who's saying what.
Well, let me ask you a slightly different question. You practiced in the U.S. Attorney's Office with Robert Mueller back many years ago, and Lindsey Graham says he's going to call him next week. How do you think that's going to go?
Well, if he's going to call Bob Mueller, it's a big mistake. And the reason I would say that is I don't see to what purpose. I do not think, and how can I say this gingerly, because Bob's, I admire him and consider him a friend from many years ago, and I greatly admire him. I think he had nothing to do with the Mueller report or the Mueller investigation. It was his masthead that was lent to this. You've seen him testify, and all I will say to be diplomatic about that is not the Bob Mueller that I know that was testifying. Mm-hmm. The reports after his testimony to try to shore the poor guy up was saying, well, Bob, Mueller wasn't coming into the office. He'd come in late, leave early. That's not the Bob Mueller I know. Bob Mueller I know comes in early, goes home late, and knows everything. This guy is not so. I feel sorry for him. He's given 45 years of his life to this country. He was dodging bullets. He's a square guy. And he didn't write that report, and he was not involved in the details, and he didn't arrest Roger Stone at 5 a.m. with, armor on and all that stuff, and put Paul Manafort in solitaire. That kind of chicken grade school stuff is ridiculous. And this special counsel's office was out of control. So why Lindsey would who's a very fair guy and a very shrewd guy. Why he would have Mueller in there, I do not know.
I don't know.
Well,
why
I think he wants. I think he wants to reemphasize the fact that he was little different than Marshall Batin.
He's a little different than Joe Biden
in the Vichy government. You know, he's in his 90s, and you're right, and he's no different than Joe Biden, who's wandering around his basement. I mean, you know, I'm not sure you can blame him for the report, but the fact that he was willing to be used like that, it was up to him. And he certainly going into this thing had the universal praise, Republicans, Democrats, everyone, and instead he's watched it all go away. I don't know if he cares anymore, but it's certainly a rise and fall of dramatic proportions.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really just too bad. I hate to see that. But we will see some indictments. And so that's why they're going after Barr. So that's the good. In fact, the good news is they went after Barr yesterday for a purpose. And we know what the purpose is. They know those indictments are coming. I mean,
that's a good point. Yeah. Or they wouldn't have bothered. Good point. Well, John, where can people where can people find your book, find out more about you?
Well, I'll tell you what. If they go to postgatebook.com, they'll see all my articles on the stuff you and we're talking about today, as well as reviews of my book. And it's also, of course, on Amazon.com, postgatebook.com. It really is central to what's going on because the media gives covering fire for all these shenanigans that these folks are up to. And it's just really a shame.
Well, I really recommend everybody. One, if you haven't read the book, you need to read the book because you'll find out. No, the Washington Post didn't go bad. Didn't go bad just a few years ago with Trump. It's been in the tank for many years, including back all the way to Watergate. And it's a great book. And the other columns by Mr. O'Connor are also great. So I really recommend postgate.com. Go there for the articles. Go there for the book. Go there for a great analysis.
John, thank you for your time. We appreciate it as always.
Hey, I love you guys. Let's do it again.
Me too.
It's a blast.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Have a great day. Have a great day. John O'Connor, the author of Postgate.com. He makes a really good point, Chuck, that, you know, if the Democrats didn't think this was coming down, they might not have bothered to do that. And the whole point, I think he's absolutely right, is to start to discredit Barr. Hey, we're opening up to the phones, 888-627-6008.
And let's bring Barney up.
Hey, Barney, good afternoon.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. I've been, like, I got to start setting my alarm. I miss you guys every – never mind. But with all due respect to your last guest, I really wanted to ask him a question. Bob Mueller is an ass clown. And we're sick of Bob Mueller's. So, sorry, John O'Connor. Bob Mueller is an ass clown. End of story. He's a hack. He's a puke. He's a turd. You name it. By the way, why in the hell is it that politicians come election time don't get charged, convicted, whatever? What the hell is this crap that, oh, we have an election coming? No, jackass, you did something illegal, and we're going to string you up. How about that? This is crap. I'll be really surprised that any indictments coming from any. By the way, what I would say to John O'Connor, Bob Mueller, you hired Andrew Weissman. Give me a break. Let me swallow that one. I don't think so.
I like John O'Connor. But Barney, I agree with you. Sorry. And now maybe Bob Mueller, and they knew he was just so out of it that it's not really fair to blame him anymore. But at some point, right, I think he was kind of aware. And he had
enough in his brain. There's enough in that noggin. I mean, I know he's got a pea brain, but there's enough in there that he knew what was going on. And by the way, I'm not even holding out with who's the little guy from South Carolina? That loudmouth.
Lindsey Graham.
Who the hell's going to – Lindsey Graham. Yeah, Lindsey's going to get up there, run his mouth. Nothing's going to happen. This is all just a big crap show, and we're watching it, and they're acting like they're going to do something, but they're really not. We'll see.
Barney, that's exactly so. My daughter, I was driving my daughter around today doing some stuff, and she was saying, you know, what are you guys going to talk about? And I said, well, there are these hearings. And then I'm like, but you know, you almost don't want to talk about the hearings. I'm like, because they never do anything, right? They hold the hearings, everybody makes their speeches. Right. Most people in America don't care, don't even know, and in part because nothing ever even happens, Adam. So I think you're right. It's just sort of fear for the political reporters and talk show junkies like us. You know, but other than that, if you're running around right now, you're trying to remember where you put your stupid mask before you can go into the grocery store.
Or wait a minute. Now we have to wear goggles and a shield. I would like to talk to Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci, you're a doctor. How is that going to feel? Do you shove it down your throat sideways or straight on? Or do we just shove it up your butt? Which one do you want? The goggles?
Barney.
Barney.
The mask is, I feel so bad. I was working out at the gym this morning, and they're like, look, you have to wear a mask. So I'm on the treadmill. You can't, I mean, and believe me, I don't go very fast, right? So it's not like, you know, my oxygen levels are, you know. And I finally stopped, and I said, I can't do it. And there are all these other, and they're like, yeah, no one can work out. Mm-hmm. And there was this poor kid who was trying to lift weights, and he's like, I give up. And it's just ridiculous, you know.
You'll pass out, Julie. You will pass out with a mask on if your balls to the walls lifting. You'll pass out. What a joke! But I don't know. The new thing is the shield and the goggles. I'm sick of it. You know what? And I'll tell you what. There's businesses. I used to stop in Longmont. There's a Wendy's and a Del Taco. Guess what, guys? Never go. Yeah, I'm just one customer. I ain't going back. You guys are a-holes. The way you responded about the mask, you're a-holes. All you people are a-holes, and you deserve to lose business. That's all there is to it.
All right. Tell us what Julie thinks.
Love you guys.
Love to hear you.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
888, we got a few minutes left. 888-627-6008 if you want to weigh in. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here in a couple different ways. As soon as they tent the freaking tent, the fence down around the Capitol building, the homeless people will come back, and they're going to keep coming back until you just got to move out the first one. I remember at step 13, they used to say it's like feeding the birds, right? If you don't put out, you know, if you
don't put out the feed, you know.
Right, and if you sweep up the sidewalk so the french fries aren't there or whatever, that's probably a bad analogy, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean when you're at the zoo or something like that. They need
can't to go to the zoo right anymore.
I mean, and for this Denver Post to call it Trumpville, it's like Trumpville. It's like give me a break, you know.
Denver Post.
It's like Bloomberg. I mean, the John Caldera called it Polisville.
Yeah, that's closer. Like, that's a lot closer.
Right.
I mean, it's I don't know. The Democratic Party is
well, and then they're so shocked sad that somebody gets hurt. And I thought Chris.
Well, Tony, but so they only got rid of him. It meant that they started to kind of feel political heat. All of a sudden, even they kind of, this didn't look good.
No, well, and that's what, you know, we were talking, Chuck and I, about, you know, all the polls and stuff like that. And I just, I don't know what to think, right? I think that if you're the average person looking around out there, you know, maybe they used to say you're not paying a lot of attention right now. But if you look around, you're like, wait a minute, downtown Denver is a pit. You can't go anywhere without being accosted by, well, you can go someplace. But I mean, it's horrible. It's not what it used to be. And it's
not in the good old days.
Not what it, well, not, good like old under days Obama. Being, good old days being like in March, right? I mean, it's not like we're talking decades ago.
Yeah,
and amazing. I think these riots and things like that, not going to go away. And I'm hoping that people look around and they're like, okay, you know, no, I don't like the direction the country is going, but is that Trump's fault? No, it's a Democrat's fault. So I'll have to see on
I've noticed there was a lot of CNBC polls out, and they showed, you know, Trump within 5 points in a lot of these battleground states. And I think that's encouraging. I think, because I think there is at least a 4 or 5% factor of Trump voters saying, you know, I'm not going to answer your questions, or I don't give you a false answer.
Right.
So if I think on election day, if it ends up being, you know, within 1 or 2 points, Trump has a good chance.
We'll have to see. It's interesting. Cory Gardner kind of gaining on John Hickenlooper.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, with his incredible, courageous stance for all of us.
He's only losing by single digits now.
Really? Hey. I didn't see that one. Where did you see that one?
Colorado politics. Oh, Colorado politics. I couldn't get into it because they have a paywall, but the headline said that. Mm-mm. Hey, I want to thank Chris Doty. I want to thank Casper Stockham. Thank John O'Connor for coming on the show today.
Thanks you all for your calls and everything else. It's great. And, it's great to have you as part of this kind of family.
It is exactly. That's what we love it when people listen on Zoom. We'd love it also if you would check out, if you miss the show, just go to chuckandjulie.com. You can always just listen live there. That's sort of the easiest. You can catch all the podcasts. If you go to YouTube, go ahead and subscribe. Just, I have to thank somebody who's making fun of me for groveling for Twitter followers, but it works.
It works.
Thank you to Casper Stockham for becoming our 1,000th Twitter follower and everybody else who's followed us too. That's going to do it for us. We didn't even get to talk about the big tech
CEO. Yeah. We've got Party Friday.
Thank you for everybody.
Take care, everybody.
To Doug, Don, and Thomas at DBS, and we'll see you all on Party Friday.